This evening's scripture reading comes from Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 4. That's Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 4. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted, and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven.
I want to join Brother Dave in welcoming you here this evening. We're glad that you are here, and we hope that you'll be benefited by having been here. There's not much point in assembling to worship God unless we are benefited thereby. And if we sing the way we ought to sing and pray the way we ought to pray and listen and speak the way we ought to, I cannot see how we will not be benefited. Can you? Jesus had a way of putting things that just ride your heart. You can't forget them. You may even try to forget them. You may put forth the effort, but you can't. And in Matthew chapter 18, verses 3 and 4, when his disciples were arguing over who would be the greatest among them when he was gone, the Bible says he called a little child into their midst. And in my mind's eye, I can see the Lord beckoning that little child to come to him. And the little fellow goes over to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it was here that Jesus taught one of the most phenomenal lessons that we will ever learn. He said, Assuredly, I say to you, most certainly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. There is in that both a hopeful thought and a frightening one. Because he went on to say, Therefore, whoever humbles himself, not that he's humbled by someone else, but humbles himself as this little child, is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. There are lots of lists of things that we as Christians should be doing and acquiring in our lives found in the New Testament. For example, the Apostle Peter said, And besides all this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are in you and abound, they shall make you that you are neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But he that lacks these things is blind and cannot look off in the distance because he has forgotten what he should not have forgotten. One of the chronic problems that Jesus had with these disciples was this ongoing argument that they had from the very beginning of his ministry up until almost the night in which he was betrayed, as to which one of them was going to be their leader when Jesus could no longer be here. That is evidence of the fact that, like most Jews, they misunderstood two or three things. Number one, who Jesus was. Number two, what he had come here to do. And number three, the nature of the kingdom that he was going to establish upon this earth. If we were to put it in today's language, they were asking Jesus, when the kingdom's established, Lord, which one of us is going to be the prime minister? We realize that you'll be the king, but which one of us will be the prime minister? Jesus noted for them that that was not a question that they should be asking. It was not a question that they needed to be concerned about, because God would take care of all such things as that, because the kingdom was not an earthly one anyway. In Philippians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul wrote considerably about the matter of humility. Because there were some problems, evidently, in the Philippian church, although he does not spell them out directly, there were some problems in the Philippian church with a lack of humility. And so he said to them, have this mind in you, or let this mind be in you, the King James translation says. Have this mind in you. And then he went on to tell them how Jesus, this mind was also in Jesus, who came from heaven to earth, humbled himself and became a man, humbled himself even further and died upon the cross for the redemption of mankind. In this passage of Scripture, the Apostle Paul shows us in the life of Jesus just what humility is. First of all, humility is being willing to do God's will at all times and in all places. Secondly, the world does not revolve around us, and the kingdom of Jesus Christ was not built for us to rule as we might like. But we are to have a humble spirit, which is best manifested in service. A lack of humility, the same kind of humility that Jesus demonstrated in his life when he left heaven, came to earth, and became a servant to man, and then died upon the cross for our redemption, a lack of that kind of humility is all over the place. But it was not in the life of Paul. Paul described in this passage not only to keep people in the kingdom, but what they had to do as they served God in that kingdom. Let me give you a few figures. You won't remember them, and I wouldn't either if I didn't have them written down here for me, but the word humble is found 7 times in the New Testament. In the past tense, it's found once. The word humbles is found twice, and the word humility is found 4 times. These words all come from the same Greek verb, tapinos. And it refers to a person of low degree, a person of low degree, a beggar, we might call them today, one who is lowly, or refers to one, to a state to which one is to bring himself in the eyes of God. Literally, in the New Testament, it referred to poverty-stricken people who had no standing in society whatsoever, the kind of people like Lazarus, who was laid at the gate of the rich man to beg the crumbs that fell from his table. Lazarus was a humble man. He was a humble man because he begged, and what little bit of a living he had, he made in that way. But notice the rest of the story. He died by and by. And the Bible says that he went to Abraham's bosom. Now the Jews would count that to be an extraordinary thing, to be able to look upon the father of their nation, to see him face to face, to know him as they knew one another. But the rich man went there, died also, but he didn't go into Abraham's bosom. He went into torment. And I'm not going to go into the story any further than that, because the point that I want to make is that the man who was not too proud to beg was the man who ended up in God's glorious home. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 12 verse 3 said, "For I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you," and although that "you" was limited to the audience to which he was speaking at the time, the principle is applicable to all of us. "Everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." When a person sees himself in his true life or light, he is then obtaining humility. Paul was speaking in this passage of people who were in danger because of their arrogance, of losing all that God had to offer them. And guess what they had grown arrogant about? Gifts of the Holy Spirit. Some of them would say, oh, the tongue is the most important. Someone said, no, prophecy is more important than that. And so there was competition in the church, in the early church, about these things. It grew no worse than it did in Corinth, I think, when Paul had to upbraid those brethren severely while he merely chided these brethren here in Rome. We have nothing wherein we have a right to glory. And we need to be careful. As most of you know, one of the men that I enjoy reading a great deal about, or as much as I can find about him, is Foy E. Wallace, Jr. And in his biography, which was written by Brother Gardner, I believe is his name, out in Indiana or Illinois, one of those places, he told the story of a young man who came up to him at a college lectureship. And he said to Brother Wallace, I presume you're Foy E. Wallace. And Brother Wallace said, you presume correctly. But he interrupted Brother Wallace, he was having a conversation with another man, in order to say that. So Brother Wallace turned back to the man with whom he was having the conversation and began to resume it. And the young man said, I just got my graduate degree here a couple or 3 weeks ago. Brother Wallace said, congratulations, I'm happy that you did. He said, Brother Wallace, how many degrees do you have? Brother Wallace said, the last time I checked, 98 and 6/10. And then he turned his back on the young man and continued his conversation. Well, the man may have had his graduate degree, but he didn't have humility, did he? He didn't show courtesy, did he? He wanted to boast about what he had obtained or attained in this life. There's nothing that I know of wherein we have a right to glory. We can't save ourselves. We can't even make ourselves better. That has to be done in conjunction with the teachings of the Word of God and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We need to be very careful about boasting. Paul said, God forbid that I should boast in anything except Jesus Christ and the cross upon which he was crucified. Paul touched upon some of the dimensions of humility when in Galatians 5:26 he said, let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So what is the value of humility? It puts you in good standing with God. As someone said a few years ago, a man who is often upon his knees will be in good standing with God. Humility in our lives will cause us to want to hear what God says about every matter that concerns us. It isn't so important what psychologists say, although psychologists do a lot of good, I am convinced, and some of them have done a great deal of harm, I'm also convinced. And it doesn't make any difference what the philosophers have thought through and what they tell us, though philosophy has been, to a certain extent, a gift to the world. But if you're going to listen to someone, why not go to the very head, the fountainhead of all things, God himself, and listen to him. God advised that we listen to Jesus. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him, God said at the baptism of his Son. And so we need to desire to hear God in all matters. Now, we put that different way. Sometimes we'll say, well, what does the Bible say about so-and-so or such-and-such, you know, whatever it might be? Well, that shows a desire to hear what God has to say. And we need always to be interested in that. And it's particularly sad, from my point of view at least, to listen to what God has to say in his word and then reject it. Turn around and walk away from it. It's like a man going after a $10 bill after he has just turned his back upon $600 million in gold. And so, humility will cause us to be like the prophets of the Old Testament who said, "Speak, Lord, your servant hears. Command, he obeys." We are not anything in and of ourselves. As a matter of fact, Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 20, "There is not a just man upon the earth who does good and never sins." Now, he didn't say there are no just men upon the earth. He says that there are no perfect men upon the earth who do good and never sin. Sin's all around us. Sometimes we're involved in it, perhaps more often than we know. Sometimes we hear things that absolutely stun us about a brother or sister in Jesus Christ, and we should hear those things and not let it go any further so far as we're concerned. For my part, I'd just rather not hear them. But sin's all around us, and we have to recognize it. And I think maybe, just a little bit, the American people are beginning to open one eye and see what sin does. Why do you say that, preacher? Well, I say that because of some cartoons that I have seen on the internet here of late. One cartoon shows a little boy. He is in prayer. And he says to God in his prayer, "How come you don't stop these school shootings? Why is it that we have to go to school all day long, every day, afraid while we're there that somebody will come in and shoot us? Why don't you come down and do something about that?" And according to the cartoon, God's reply was, "I'm not allowed in the schools anymore." Are we waking up, maybe, just a little bit? Maybe if someone would kick our shins, we wake up more than we have. But God is taken out of the school. God is taken out of society. Religious men, so-called, mock God, make fun of his son, and call it Christianity. People, we need to be humble. And to be humble, we must desire to hear the Lord on any and all subjects, bar none. "Speak, Lord. I want to hear what you have to say." You know, when Isaiah was upon this earth 750 or so years before the birth of Christ, he said, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor is his ear heavy, dull, that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear." It isn't that he can't, it's just that he won't under certain conditions. We live in the midst of a wicked society. It may get better, I pray every day that it will, but it may not either. It may have to run its gamut. We may have to learn like Judah learned and like Israel learned in the long ago. We may be beset by armies that will destroy our way of life in order for us to begin to learn what we need to do so far as God is concerned. But we certainly need to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God so that he can exalt us in the last days. Humble is not just a word, it's a way of life. And as we go through life, we sometimes look at someone and we'll say, "There's a humble man." I heard a story one time about a Christian who belonged to one of these churches. I heard this when I was just a child. It used to be in the Churches of Christ. I don't know whether it was ever done in Moundsville or not, but there were Churches of Christ who once a year would honor people by giving them a button to wear, you know, best Bible student, best this, best that, best something else. And they gave this man a button that said, "Most humble," and he wore it. Makes you wonder, doesn't it? Makes you wonder just a little. A recent newspaper account said that 70% of the American people believe that there is a place called heaven and that they are going there. Wouldn't it be wonderful if that were true? If what they believe were true, if 70% of this nation was made up of Christians, and I'm not talking about religious people, I'm talking about Christians, such as we are, or should be, 70%. However, in the same survey, of that 70% of people, only 30% of them believed that there was a place of punishment that the Bible calls hell. They said preachers put that language in there to scare people into doing what they want them to do. How foolish. How foolish. Humility will help us to accept God's truth on any matter, whether we like it at first or whether we don't. The only way we can find and hold to God's truth is to be humble enough to do it. To be humble enough to search the Word of God, to learn the Word of God, to practice the Word of God, to love the Word of God. Someone said, I love God, sure enough, but I'm not particularly partial to the Bible. You can't love God without loving His Word. We need to love God and love His Word. We don't want to be what the little boy said. He and his little friend were out in the front yard playing, and his grandmother was sitting on the front porch in a rocking chair reading her Bible. And the little fellow who was visiting with him said, what's your grandma doing? And he glanced up and saw her reading her Bible, and he said, she's cramming for finals. Well, maybe we ought to start to cram 70 or 80 years before that, you reckon? I have heard people say, you know, it's awful hard to be humble when you're as great as I am. And then they would laugh. And I laugh too, because that's a joke, isn't it? We're not great. There are very few of us, if the Bible is true, who are really good, or at least as good as we could be or need to be. But we never will be if we do not become humble people. Yesterday I was reminiscing about people in this congregation who are long gone on to their reward, the people I knew, and the humorous things that I knew about them. And there was one very quiet little woman who was a member of this congregation, and before that she was a member of another congregation in this town. And in that other congregation, she listened to an elder, I think he was, get behind the Lord's table and say again and again and again, brethren, things are creeping into the church. And then he would warn of something. She always sat on the last seat, clear back by the door. And he would go back there and shake hands with people as they left the building. This elder would. And one day she went out and he said to her, Nellie, I want to ask you something. She said, all right. He said, why do you always sit on the back seat? She said, so I can get out of the door when them things come a-creeping into the church. Well, that was a super answer. But you know, it surprised me just a little. Because she was a very humble woman. She never questioned God. She followed God. She loved God. And I'm sure that God loved her. Well, things may creep into the church, but you and I need to be faithful enough and humble enough to reject what we do not find in Holy Scripture. Brother F.B. Shrigley used to say, people probably never will learn that part of being a good Christian is to reject things. And then he named some things in his editorial that we should reject. He was a wise man. I think so far as formal education is concerned, he went to the 5th or 6th grade, but he was a wise man, very wise man. And there are things that we should reject out of hand. Humility, unfortunately, is something that we don't see much of in our day and time. We need to rediscover it and live it. If you're here tonight and you've failed in that regard or any other regard so far as that's concerned, and you need to be restored to Jesus, we hope and pray that you'll come to him this evening to be restored to him. If you've never been a follower of Jesus, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and come believing that Jesus Christ is his Son. Come repenting of all your sins, to confess his name, and to be buried with him by baptism into death. Just humbly do what the Master said. And heaven, if you are faithful, can be your reward. Will you do that? We hope that you will. We pray that you will. Nothing would please us any more than to see you do that while we stand together and sing the invitation song.